But Peter said, "My friend, I do not know what you are talking about." Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. How do you think Jesus looked at Peter at that moment when Peter had denied him a third time and realized that, contrary to his promise, "I will go to jail for you, I will die for you," he instead denies him adamantly three times? In that very moment, Peter and Jesus, from a distance, make eye contact. What do you think Peter saw in Jesus' face? You know, we can say a lot by how we look at people without ever speaking a word. You know, oftentimes what your mom or dad or kids are thinking just by the look on their face, even though nothing comes out of their mouth. How did Jesus look at Peter in that moment? Some may say Jesus looked at him disappointedly. Others may say Jesus looked at him angrily. "How could you do this, Peter?" Others might say Jesus looked at him telling him, "I told you so." But I would propose that none of those are true. I think Jesus looked at Peter in a very different way. Prayer, in fact, when we pray from the heart, is about looking upon the face of Jesus and seeing in his gaze the truth of who we are. We often live out of the experience of how our parents looked at us, whatever that may have been. Or we believe things about ourselves based on how our peers looked at us, or how our bullies or enemies look at us. We often live out of an experience of who I am based on what I see in the mirror. But more often than not, those gazes are not true. They're a gaze of a sinner looking at you and me through the lens of their own brokenness and their own experiences. The truth of who we are is found in the gaze of Christ and how he looks upon me and you. And if we do not know how to pray from the heart, then we do not know how Jesus looks at us. We may say the words, we may go to Mass, but our own actions belie the fact that we do not know who we are, or we believe the gaze of others and not the gaze of Jesus. I would propose to you that when Jesus looked at Peter in that very moment, having denied him three times and going to abandon him now in his arrest and passion and death, Jesus looked at Peter, reminding him, "I'm not going anywhere. I'm doing this for you. Turn back. Strengthen your brothers. I love you. I need you." I think that's what was in the gaze of Jesus. Not condemnation, not disappointment, not anger, but love and compassion. "Don't give up, Peter. Turn back. Come back to me." And I know this based on Scripture itself. We see throughout the gospel you just heard today, time and again, Jesus displaying this disposition toward his own enemies. The very men who were nailing him to the wood of the cross, scourging him at the pillar, mocking him. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." The good thief, who potentially spent his life in thievery, only repenting at the last moment of his life, and he repents, and Jesus tells him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Elsewhere in Luke's gospel, you know the story of the prodigal son, a son who wished his father dead, but since he wasn't dead, he took the inheritance anyway. And then, to drive home the fact that he cared nothing about his father, went to a far distant land, only to lose everything, to squander it, to end up caring for pigs. He was filthy, unclean, impure, and he only came home because he was hungry, not because he was sorry. But it didn't matter to the father, because it's not about you and me or the prodigal son. It's about the father. And in the story of the prodigal son, the father humiliates himself by running to the son He's always looking out for the son, hoping he would come home in spite of what the son did. And when the father encountered the son, he kissed him and hugged him and gave him the family credit card with the crescent ring and put sandals on his feet. "You are not a slave, you are my son." Coated him with a gown, letting the world know, "This is my son and he has come home." And then slaughtered the fattened calf to celebrate. That's how the father looks at us. Even though we may be very much right now living like the prodigal son, only here for a palm branch, because we're sorry we haven't been to Mass the rest of the year. It doesn't change how God looks at us, because he doesn't change. It's about who he is, not what we've done. Do you know how God looks at you? That's what prayer is all about. "Father, let me see your gaze. Let me see your face. Let me see in your look upon me the truth of who I am, your beloved son, for whom you chose to suffer and die to save and redeem." The lies that our minds are filled with and the lies that we think are truth about who we are overwhelm us. Scriptures describe Satan in the book of Revelations as the, quote, "accuser of our brothers who night and day accuse them before God." Our minds are filled with accusations. "You're this, you're that, you're no good. No one loves you. No one cares." But we must renounce them and acknowledge them for what they are. Lies from Satan himself. Jesus never accused even the guilty. Remember the woman he caught in adultery, or was caught in adultery? They brought her to him, and at no point did he ever accuse her or condemn her, even though she was guilty. "Does no one accuse you?" "No one, sir." "Then go." "Neither do I." "Go and sin no more," after saving her from being stoned to death. That's how God looks at us. Do you know that gaze? If you don't, I urge you to join us during this Triduum, Thursday at 7, Friday at 7, and if you're able to enjoy the most beautiful and longest liturgy of the year for 2.5, 3 hours, Saturday at 8:30, we will accompany Jesus and be reminded just how much God loves us. Not because we've earned it, not because we deserve it, but simply because of who he is. He looks on you with love. He needs you, not for his sake, but for yours. If only you will accept the truth of how he looks at you and reject the lies that you have lived out of, maybe even until now. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Peter went out and wept bitterly, but eventually he would repent and lay down his life for the Lord, crucified like him. How about you?